Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, well, we're going to talk about winter in Ukraine, and we're going to talk about when there's no infrastructure. We're going to talk about when there's no water, no sewer, no power, no internet. That sounds like an ugly world. I got to say, being cut off from communication, that kind of can be an ugly world. Do me a favor, bring your mic down like an inch.
Yeah. How's that?
There you go.
All right.
You can go up a hair if you want. All right. I think great. Maybe. All right. Let's hear it.
All right, we'll see how this ends. Maybe this is better, maybe it's worse.
All right. What do you got?
All right. Well, we were talking about, I was watching the news, and I was talking to you a little bit about this, about Ukraine, and it seems like the current strategy by Russia is to destroy the infrastructure and crush the will of the people.
Yeah.
Seems a little tricky, though, to crush the will of the Ukrainians, though, because they're like super into this. They're all in now. They were, you know, before Russia invaded Ukraine, you know, half of Ukraine was basically like, well, Russia isn't that bad. You know, we're Russians. I mean, they're the same ethnically. They're the same people. You know, there's no difference between them, except some people live in a democracy and some people live in a dictatorship. You know, that's the main difference. I guess some people are like super into like dictators and hate democracy, even in the United States. Like Tucker Carlson is super pro Russia. He's like super into like crushing democracies and subverting the will of the people. You know, fuck Tucker Carlson though. You know, I've hated him for a long time, and I always try and bring it up how much of a piece of shit he is, and what's wrong with America is basically what's Tucker Carlson's game plan for his little TV show. And I say little. He gets more watchers than we do.
Right.
But we're also a little podcast, you know. And,
yeah. Maybe it's because they're holding us back because we speak too much truth. What do you think of that? I mean, I like to think that really we would be more popular than Tucker Carlson if we were given the right platform and the right funding.
I feel like we would be more successful than Tucker Carlson if we spent most of the podcast talking about like transsexuals and going down on Donald Trump, but I don't think that's really our game plan here.
Wait, maybe
lost you there for all right.
We were lost for a minute. You guys will have to bear with us there. Kevin has got a dramatic face, is all I can say if you're watching the YouTube.
Yeah. So basically what Russia's trying to do is crush the Ukrainian infrastructure and force the people that live in Ukraine to go for peace. But that doesn't work out when you're actually losing the war, which seems like that's been really happening for the past since day one, really. They got about 3 days into their first offensive, and right. then it kind of crapped out, and they've slowly been being pushed back or making slow advancements back and forth for a little while. And now they're really just trying to, they realize they're in a quagmire and there's no positive, there's no good way out. So they're trying to get everybody that lives in Ukraine's life to be so miserable that they just want a peace. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about the infrastructure. There's about 44 million people in Ukraine.
All right. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a lot of people. They've been trying to destroy the electrical grid, but they're having problems with that. Some of the main is the actual power plants themselves have a lot of air defense systems around them. So they can't actually effectively bomb the power plants themselves. The one is a lot of those power plants are nuclear power plants. Oh. And everybody's watching them and everyone's like, yeah, you can't blow those up because that could kill everybody. Like, you can't actually do that. So they're kind of hesitant. So what they're trying to do is basically wipe out the infrastructure that delivers the power.
I know in the Gulf War, we actually had these like metal nets that we threw over the power lines.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to work out pretty good. It was that whole shock and awe thing. Mm-hmm. What we did, we actually threw these metal nets all over their power lines and basically shorted everything out and just kind of really created a lot of havoc doing that. So there are definitely ways that you can take down the power lines and take things out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the main things that's different between this war and an American-led invasion, because America's really good at that, is the United States first thing they do is light up, you know, is shoot, fly a bunch of stuff through the airspace and light up all the anti-air defense systems and take them out. Russia did not do that. I don't know if they're not capable of doing it or what, but at this point in the war, nobody has air supremacy. The United States always has air supremacy. That's the main tactic of a ground invasion, is that you have to have control of the air, and Russia doesn't. Nobody has control of the air. You know, if you fly a Ukrainian jet, it's going to get shot down. And if you fly a Russian jet, it's going to get shot down. It's not, nobody's got it. So that's kind of one of the main things that bogged down the offensive.
Okay.
So right now in Kyiv, about 50% of the city is without power. And what they've been doing is basically taking out the transformers and the power lines, like you're talking about.
Yeah.
Obviously, power lines are run mostly through poles, like it is in the United States. Some countries have it underground, which is not as easy as it seems, because you have to have a big space around your power lines. Otherwise, the power is going to be jumping and grounding itself out, you know? So you really have to do, it's labor intensive and it's cost intensive to run power underground.
Yeah.
So right now in Kyiv, there's about 1.4 million people are out of power. They're rationing electrical consumption. There's rolling blackouts, which is tricky, which is difficult, because most of the utilities in Ukraine run on power.
Right.
Which means that, you know, Ukraine is a steppe, which is really big, flat areas. A lot of places in the United States, we have water systems that work at the tops of mountains, and then the water runs down, gravity-fed. You know, in the East Coast and the West Coast, that's a lot of how it works.
Okay.
But, you know, in the Midwest of the United States, it's water towers, and you have to put that water up. Towers. And it's the same thing in Ukraine. They have to pump that water up to give it pressure that it comes out of your faucet.
Right.
So with the power out, that water's out too. So you don't have drinking water. So a lot of these guys are working with filling up jugs when the water's working, filling up containers, storing water. But it's tricky to do when it's below freezing and you have no heat in your house.
Right. Yeah.
you basically, you know, you have to run the risk of bursting your containers by it freezing, or, you know, actually having to melt the water before you can actually consume it.
Right.
So that's a tricky situation. Now I was looking up the climate in Ukraine. Ukraine's a pretty big country. But as far as winter goes, it's generally, it's not, you know, it's not one of those where it gets below freezing at night and warms up during the day. It's a pretty cold place.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, especially during the winter, there's a lot of wind too, which, you know, that doesn't affect the actual temperatures, but it affects, you know, you as a person being outside. That wind really can cut through your clothing and take that heat away from your body.
Right.
I mean, so there's a lot of, they've got a lot of handicaps right now. And the trick, whether this war is won or lost by Ukraine, is going to be whether the civilian population can survive this winter or not. And so this is really, this next 3 months, this next 4 months is going to be a real big, make a real big difference in what happens with this war.
Now, what really concerns me, though, are they still able to watch TikTok, or is that, are we
hit and miss? So they have internet.
Okay.
They don't have power. Yeah. So they're setting up power stations where people can charge their phones. One of the big things that's fucking them up now is the air raid sirens aren't going off because there's no power.
That's a problem. Yeah.
So they can't take cover. So they're encouraging everybody to keep their phones charged, and they're sending out alerts when it comes in.
Nice.
Instead of just the air raid sirens, so people can have a chance to take cover before, you know.
It's amazing missiles. The modern world we live in, you know, the things. It's just a big, you know, like wake up call, though, that maybe people should be looking at, you know, solar and different things. Having smaller, you know, solar chargers, just enough to maybe get a cell phone or two, you know, going. These things can right. make a big difference. And also just keeping flashlights charged or maybe radios, that kind of stuff. That's a big thing. And, you know, I know I was joking about the TikTok thing, but that's the thing is keeping morale. And that's one of the beauties of the hard life that people have over in the Ukraine and stuff. And honestly, in Russia as well, that, you know, they're not used to all the cush luxuries. I feel like they won't fall apart as fast as we do. You know, yeah, it seems like, you know, getting sucked into their cell phone is kind of a worldwide problem, not a America problem. But it's still, you know, information. And when you're trapped without it, it really does, you know, kind of devastate people. And I got to say, Ukraine has gone through some hard times and they've been experiencing this stuff. I just kind of worry with America that, you know, if anything like this ever happened here, I feel like we would collapse even sooner. You know, we have some strong, resolved people, but we also have a lot of people who are very dependent on social media and constant entertainment. And I'm not sure how the mental state would hold up, you know?
Yeah. And being constantly comfortable.
Right.
You know, just being, you know, discomforted is enough for a lot of Americans, I think, to throw their hands up in the air and, you know, acquiesce to whatever they need.
Yeah.
You know, whatever needs to be, you know, traded for. It's a lot of situations are, I don't know. In the United States, I don't know that how many people would really tolerate this sort of stuff, you know, being without power during the winter. I think that a lot of people would lose their fucking minds. Now, one of the other major problems is with the infrastructure there that Russia is trying to destroy. Is roads and bridges, railroad stations, airports. So Ukraine is really great at producing food. They produce a lot of the world's food, not just for their own country, but for other places in the country.
Yes.
There's going to be food shortages because they can't get the food out of the country, especially Central Africa. A lot of people are going to starve this year because of this.
Wow.
But the other issue is that, you know, if you can't get food to the cities from the farm areas, you know, those people are going to have a hard time. You know, they're going to have a hard time getting food. They're going to have a hard time accessing it. And, you know, a lot of people out there right now are doing a lot of work on food storage, which is interesting. You know, we talk about that all the time, what you can do as far as storing food long term. But when you only have a few weeks to do it and everybody else is trying to do it at the same time, that's a bad situation to be in.
Right.
If you guys remember the beginning of the pandemic, if you didn't have food storage already, you were out of luck. You'd go to the grocery store and, you know, shelves be empty everywhere.
Right.
You know, I think it was pretty obvious to everybody right at the beginning of the pandemic how delicate our supply chain is. And when there's no supply chain, that, you know, that goes down a lot faster. It's going to be a lot of hungry people. And when with a lot of hungry people comes a lot of cold people, especially when you don't have power. You know, you say, well, it's only 30 degrees on, but, you know, put on some extra clothes, put on a jacket. But you know, if you don't have enough food, you're not going to have the energy to heat your body up, and that's not going to do much for you.
Right. No, that's a big thing. And when you're not moving and out doing stuff, and when you don't have the energy without the food, you're not, you know, staying warm.
Right. Right. You know, and a lot of people are kind of desperate, doing like you know, last ditch efforts. You know, if you watch some of the videos, some of the YouTube stuff about what's going on in Ukraine, some of the news channels will show some of this stuff. But a lot of these places that people are living in that doesn't have water, it doesn't have power, but also there's holes in the building. You know? A lot of people's windows are blown out. And you put plastic on it, but it's not the same. You know, it's not the same keeping your house warm with a, you know, sturdy insulated windows and a piece of plastic stapled up over the hole that used to be a window.
Right. Well, so there are a couple things, with the heat that you guys can think about. One is insulating with cardboard. They talk about premium cardboard. So you have like your crappy cardboard that like your Eggo waffles come in, and then you have like your cardboard boxes like a refrigerator or, you know, something like that where it's insulated corrugated. And thick, you know, maybe a quarter inch. Right. Exactly. So that thicker plywood can build up and, you know, insulate things. You can use that on your walls and windows. Another thing, moving into a smaller space, you know, a lot of times, you know, people talk about houses from yesteryear, you know, when you go in the historic houses, all the rooms had real low ceilings and were kind of small and confined. Well, you may want to kind of section off and really focus on keeping one or two rooms in your home, you know, as the primary area that you want to hang out in. Bubble wrap also works great for covering up windows. I don't know that people have a lot of bubble wrap around, but if you do, the cardboard, and just kind of focus that way. Having firewood and that kind of stuff, you know, I hate to say it, you know, at least in America, having a wood stove or something like that is more of a luxury. It's always like an afterthought and something. And, you know, obviously you're not going to have access to wood in really populated areas, that kind of thing. But if you're out in the country, you know, planning ahead and that kind of thing might be a great way to, you know, plan for your family and yourself. To protect yourself, they have those little Sterno like safe heats. They actually do pretty well at warming up a small area. Again, you got to be in a small confined area if you're going to have limited heat. These things can make a big difference. You know, obviously kerosene is awesome if you can get it, and the kerosene heaters, again, something people don't always plan for or have. Just something to think about, you know, beforehand. It's always, you know, as preppers, that's one of the things we're always talking about is planning ahead. You know, when things aren't a problem for you, that's the time that you want to start setting these things aside. You know, Kevin was talking about the water bob for the bathtub. How awesome is that? If you can, hey, you know, the water tower pump is filling up right now. We can fill up our water bob and have it set aside. And also in a nice small room like a bathroom that's easy to keep warm, that kind of thing can really make a big difference. that's something to think about as a prepper, you know, it's something you can do beforehand. You know, and like you said, when we had the pandemic here and things got a little tight, you know, having 2 weeks of food makes a big difference. And 2 weeks is more than a lot of people have. Obviously, you know, we talk about more long-term and having even more storage than that, but you know, basics, having the right medicines when you can't get into the pharmacy and that kind of thing, having that stuff, you know, set aside a little extra stockpile, you know, that kind of puts you ahead of everybody else. And, you know, and maybe there are some substitute medications or herbs or teas that, you know, you can kind of do to keep your blood pressure down or do whatever it is that you need to do that can maybe stretch out the life of the medicines that you're taking from the pharmacies, you know?
Right.
That's something to consider.
Yeah. Now, if you're in a situation, now, I don't want to be shitty. If you're in a situation where you are tickation for your blood pressure, start exercising and dieting. Start trying to get that blood pressure down that doesn't require medication. There's a lot of other issues people have that you can mitigate ahead of time with diet and exercise. If you are taking blood pressure medication or a lot of other medications, you're relying on that medicine, and you need to try as much as you can to be not reliant. Obviously, not all blood pressure is dictated by by being overweight or by not exercising.
Right.
That's not the case.
But you're saying I should eat less and move around more?
Yes. Yes. I highly recommend that for everybody. Yeah. Right. But I mean,
good to know.
You know, in all seriousness though, there's a lot of things that, you know, if you're diabetic and you can't get to the pharmacy, you're fucked. There's nothing you can do about that. There's not a whole lot of diet and exercise options you can take care of that's going to negate your need for medicine. And there's a million of that you can't, there's nothing you can do about it. You have to take the medicine or you're gonna die. And that's the sort of stuff that you want to style if you can. But you know, insulin, for example, is not something you can stockpile. It's not something you can make at home. You're going to be in a bad situation if you're diabetic and all of a sudden can't get access to medicine. If some dictatorship is trying to overthrow your country and collapse your economy, it's going to work. It's going to work with a lot of people. It's going to kill a lot of people. And there's not much you can do about it when, you were living a peaceful, normal life in your own country, minding your own business, and some asshole decides to, overthrow your government and try and assassinate your president and take control of everything. Khorasan is a great example of that. The occupiers have fled. They had to retreat. They were outgunned and outpowered. But now the people that are in Khorasan are fucked. There's no power there. There's no medicine there. All they can do is leave. You know, you're going to starve to death if you're in that city now. There's nothing left there for you. Right. And they can rebuild that city at some point, but not right now. I mean, it's just being bombed nonstop right now. And good luck. If you live in that city, good luck is all I can say. You know, I hope you can get out of there. I hope you can find someplace safer to get to.
Really what it comes down to is you got to kind of – and that's where having your stuff in order, you know, comes into play. I mean, that was one of the things we wanted to circle back with this with Ukraine. I mean, people always think, you know, well, that could never happen in the modern world. That's what I always used to hear. And now, of course, they're shifting the argument to, well, that'll never happen here. You know, other countries are like that. But, you know, 10 years ago, I heard, oh, well, America will never have a war, the world will never have wars like they used to because, you know, we're all civilized and they would never do these horrible things and just whatever. And the other countries wouldn't stand for it. Well, guess what? Right. As more and more countries are broke and poverty stricken, the less you can go sticking your nose and meddling in other people's affairs. When you're on a super tight budget, And when things are going crappy in your own situation, you know, that's why bad actors like Russia are stepping up, because they're like, hey, you know, people have their hands full. They can't really screw with us. I mean, you know, America used to butt our nose in everything. And now we're a lot more cautious because we're like, hey, we kind of have things falling apart at home. We can't really be, you know, getting in the way over there. And people don't really realize that, or they don't think about that. And that's a real thing. You know, it makes a difference when people are caught up. When you have your house in order, then you can go help other people. And that's kind of part of the being a prepper thing, is being able to help other people. But when you're falling apart and have your stuff messed up, it's hard, because you're like, I got to put out the fire here. I can't come over there. And that's kind of how America and a lot of the other countries are right now, is, hey, Ukraine, yeah, we got your back, but we really don't, because we got our own problems, you know? Right. Yeah, we're throwing money at it, but we're just printing it. We're not really doing anything.
Right, right. Yeah, no, and I think a lot of these situations that are happening in Ukraine right now,
yeah,
could be situations that we're dealing with in the future in the United States. And it's something you need to prepare for. And I think that it would be incumbent on everybody to spend a little bit of time and watch what's happening in Ukraine. Watch what these people are doing to stay alive. I saw one old lady. She must have been 70, 80 years old. And she said she was born in it. When she was born, the world was at war and everybody was freezing and starving to death. And she's going to die. And everyone's at war and everyone's going to be freezing and starving to death. So,
that's,
I mean, it's
an ugly reality, but kind of is a reality, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and another thing is, these people that are in Ukraine, they have a long history of having terrible, awful shit happening in their communities. This is not Britain. This is old hat. They've been doing this for a long time. And, you know, yeah, they've had about 50 years of peace and prosperity. But there are a lot of older people in that area that remember the hardship, and that remember the times where there wasn't enough food and there wasn't enough heat. And, you know, a lot of people say that Russia is excellent at winter warfare, and this is going to be, you know, bad for Ukraine. But the truth of the matter is that the destroyed infrastructure is affecting everybody in that area. And if you're a soldier in that area and you don't have the military grade winter clothing, winter food, it's going to not be good for everybody. I know that Ukraine is being heavily supplied by the EU, by the United States with low temperature gear, clothing, sleeping bags, socks, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And Russia is not doing great in that area. A lot of that stuff went out with them during the original winter invasion, and they have not been resupplied yet. They went all summer, getting rid of all their winter clothing. And now they're not being resupplied. So it's going to be hard hit for, there's going to be a lot of people freezing to death in Ukraine this year. And I tell you, I've never frozen.
No,
it's not pleasant. It's not a good way to go. I can't imagine that freezing to death they say you get euphoric before you die, but it feels like you spend a lot of time not being euphoric before you die also, you know?
Yeah.
That euphoria the last 30 minutes of your life, and that's it.
Yeah. No, when I was a kid, in the Boy Scouts, they have the Wilderness Survival Merit Badge. And one of the things is you have to stay out overnight, you know, and do the night on your own. And so I was like, oh, I'll do that in the winter, because snow fort shelter, a lot easier to build. I built, you know, it's nothing. Oh, I got to tell you, dude, I had the hardcore sleeping bag, and the whole night I didn't sleep a second, because you're just like shaking and cold. Like you couldn't fall asleep. It was just like, oh, you know, and it gets so frantic, and you don't even, you know, imagine how bad it can be, and it can be bad. And
yeah,
you know, that's something you want to think about. It's not a comfortable, happy way to do it. And if you can do things to kind of put your house in order and, you know, kind of up your heat situation, that's, you know, something you want to plan now so that when you're in a desperate situation, I mean, right now in the desperate situation, you just got to find ways to kind of insulate the walls, to kind of build up your, you know, stuff in front of the walls, whether it's stacking books or, you know, moving furniture or whatever. It's basically just putting a barrier between you and you know, what's outside, and staying in that confined small space and trying to keep warm. But
yeah,
it's tough.
Yeah. One of the tricks to that is setting up a tent inside your house.
Yes.
So you're going to make a smaller space that you're going to be sleeping in. And your body warmth will hold a lot better in that smaller tent area than in an open, you know, big open room. I saw a lot of people setting up tents on their bed, which is smart. You don't want to be in contact with the ground if you can help it, because that ground is just going to keep, keep transferring cold into you. It's going to keep, you know, it doesn't matter how much you heat up that ground. That earth is a lot bigger than what you're trying to heat, and it's just going to keep moving that cold into you. So if you can separate yourself from the ground, that's the best thing to do right off the bat just to survive the night. But you know, I feel for the people out there, you know, I really do. It's going to be a hard few months ahead of them. And, you know, we're going to see what happens, but, you know, I think that if you're the type of country that feels that you should win a war by starving and freezing the other side out, by killing the civilian population and making the civilians suffer, you're kind of an asshole. Kind of a dick move, you know? Kind of real shitty. Saying like, you know, you guys need to surrender and come to and agree to our terms. Well, the Russian terms aren't terms. The Russian terms are, you know, we take your shit. We take all your shit.
Yeah.
And nothing. So there's no win for that on the Ukrainian side. You know, it's also stupid to negotiate a peace with people that are losing the war, which Russia is right now.
Right.
Yeah, your civilians are starving and freezing to death, but you're losing on the battlefield, and not really a strong position to negotiate from when you're the one losing. And if you pay attention, they keep screaming right now. The Russians are screaming like, you should give up, accept our terms. You should do it. We're ready to negotiate. Because they know that things are only going downhill for them.
Right.
This freezing, the starvation of the population is really, it's really hardening Ukrainians against them. You know, it's really, hardening the resolve. And stealing them against them. And, you know, a lot of these people were pro-Russian before this war started, and they're not pro-Russian now. I don't know what Putin was hoping for, but it wasn't this. It wasn't to be dragging this war out into a second year and having massive casualties on his own side and really showcasing for the whole world how shitty the Russian military is. We were all scared of them, you know. We were all terrified, you know, the Spetsnaz.
I wasn't scared, but yeah,
Air Forces. Everybody was all had their panties up in a bunch that you don't want to have to go toe to toe with Russia, and now we're kind of seeing that they're kind of shitty at it. They don't really have any good soldiers. They don't have any good NCOs. They have decent officers, but if the only motivation their officers can give them is shooting them if they retreat, it's not a whole lot of motivation to go forward. It's just motivation not to go back. And I don't know, man. I don't know. Things are going to be terrible for everybody. Things are going to be terrible for everybody on both sides this winter. And, you know, I just wish them best of luck. And I will do everything I can to help out what I can.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's it. What else can you do? What else can you say? you know, sorry that this is shitty and happening to you, but you know, it can happen here too.
Right. It can happen. And that's the best thing is to learn from it. Don't worry, the government's taking lots of your money and sending it over there. You don't even realize when they're just printing more. So you're doing your part, even though you don't realize it.
Even though you don't know. Yep. Just keep paying your taxes.
You know, I know early on we showed you guys how to sign up and go join the Ukraine military and go help out. Hey, you know, you do what you got to hear. You can still do that. They're still looking for happy young guys to come over and save the world. But, you know, anyway, you can stay up on important information like this by signing up for our email list at preppingbadass.com. You can also get some badass gear at preppingbadass.com. You can get cool t-shirts that say, don't give them an inch. You guys, you know, been with us a while. We appreciate it. Appreciate your support. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the channel. Leave comments and on the podcast. Yeah. We'd appreciate it.
Also, if you've got, if you want to send me some your pro-Russian propaganda, I know some of the people that listen to this podcast are, for some reason, super into Russia. Gives them a boner. Go ahead. Send me your hate mail at Gmail, preppingbadass@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your crazy conspiracy theory nonsense.
You like crazy conspiracy nonsense?
I love it. I love it. We do have Don't Give Them an Inch mug still available.
We do have some mugs. Is that true? I believe they're still available. So with that, I would say.
Got one right here.
You got one?
Yep.
Nice.
So if you, with that, go ahead, Chuck. Take us out.
Stay safe, and we will talk to you guys next week.
The Survival and Basic Badass Podcast is a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network.
Succeed, you want to fish, you want to be one of the greatest.
Tune in to West Marine's Life on the Water, presented by Costa Custom Boats, every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. If you haven't already, download the free Waypoint TV app to listen to our podcast and watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents anywhere, anytime, and on any device. I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more.